Well, it's a privilege to be here. It always feels like being back home when we come here. My wife and I think most of you know this, but my wife and I, when we first got married, we got married in May of 2012, and we were here by the end of May or the beginning of June of that same year and started working. And so this really became just a special place for us. And I grew up at Camp Deer Lake, and so Camp Deer Lake, honestly, is when I look back at Camp Deer Lake, I think the biggest thing that I can remember about it, lesson-wise, was it's where I learned the importance of reading my Bible on a daily basis. And so, you know, and if it weren't for that foundation, I don't know where the Lord would have taken me from there, but I'm really grateful for the ministry. And I know that many of you have been here doing that for longer than I've been alive or coming to camp. And so I'm very grateful for this place. My family is not with me today, though they wish they were. And so they send their regards. And if you've never met them all yet, you'll see pictures of them in a minute. I have a beautiful wife named Sarah. We're coming up, believe it or not, on 11 years soon. And so we've been married for almost 11 years. We have a beautiful little girl named Milena, and we have a brand new son. I say he's brand new. It went by quickly. He's going on 5 months old. His name is Uriah. And so we've been serving in Chuuk, Micronesia now for the last 5.5 years. And I think if we could hop onto an airplane tomorrow, I'm pretty sure we would go back right away. We're itching to get back home to where we belong. But right now, this is where the Lord has us. Trying to sum up 5.5 years of ministry and life and good things and bad things all in just a little bit is really quite impossible. And yet, what we were able to show you was kind of the gist of some of the big things that we have going on. I know many of you have already been asking, you know about all the legal situations that we've had and difficulty there. And so I do stand before you as a felon. And so I'm a felon in the Federated States of Micronesia. And so what we are planning on at the moment, it looks like the Lord is opening up some ways back into Chuuk. I'm trying to get back in May, and we'll see what the Lord does there. And then my brother, for those of you that might remember my younger brother, he'll be getting married in June, and I'll be officiating. So I'll go and get everything prepped in May, and then I'll come back and marry off Caleb, and then my family and I will head back over and Lord willing, get back in and get back to work. And so I'll just elaborate a little bit. And I know last time I was here, we were here on a Wednesday night for real fast. But I just want to tell you, this is what the Lord has set up in the first term. And really, this has been laying the foundation for our desire to see further ministry in Chuuk. Chuuk is a really closed-off society. Everybody smiles. Everybody's very nice. If you're visiting there, you would just think that everybody is the nicest society in the world, and you get the outside look. But when you start to live there and you start to see the inside of things and you realize that you're outside of a wall, and to get inside of that wall takes a lot of work. And so it's kind of like building a house. You have to lay a solid foundation, and in order to do that, that takes a lot of time and a lot of material if you want to do it the correct way. And so the way that we view these first 5.5 years that we've been there, we had different plans, we had different goals, we thought things would go a little bit differently. But what the Lord has allowed us to do is really take our time in laying out a foundation. And so we've been working with Grace International Baptist Church, really been able to help that area grow. I've learned a lot of what it means to have a ministry there. My wife and I, it's not my ministry, it is together, it is ours. My wife is right alongside me in the thick of things. And so together we've learned what it looks like there. And I wish I had time to just tell you story after story of failures and good things and all of that good stuff. And I will put the plug in for this. After the service, in the fellowship hall, in the activity room, I will have a table set up, which is some of, you know, the missionary stuff, right? Stuff from Chuuk come over and check it out and talk to me, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. But I want to cast a vision real fast for what we have coming up. We are, by all measures and by all means, we're just trusting the Lord, not blindly, but really, there's been some pretty big answers to prayer. We're planning on getting back in May, and we're going to pick back up, Lord willing, where we left off. So we'll continue with the prison ministry. We'll continue regular pastoral duties and things like that. But what we really feel the need for, in the very end I talked about it, we have a gym that we're getting ready to start. And the culture in Chuuk, they haven't used the American dollar forever, right? It's, money is a fairly new culture, or fairly new concept within the last, let's say, 50 to 100 years. The pastor that I work underneath, we were talking a while back, and he told me, I said, so how did you guys, how did you get money for tin roofing when you were a kid? He said, oh, the most I ever remember my dad ever bringing home in a year was somewhere around $5. And that was just, they didn't do any, they did all the farming and the fishing and everything. So money's a pretty new concept. And so the true currency is knowledge. If you want to get into this culture, you have to find out, how can I extract knowledge that they hold very tightly onto? How can I, not only can I get the knowledge about what a word really means, or why they do this practice in this way, because they hold on to that. Knowledge is valuable. But the other question we have to ask is, what knowledge can I impart that would open up doors? And now, Chuuk is a really religious society. Everywhere you turn, there's some sort of a church. Everybody you talk to will say, oh yes, I know about Jesus. But very few people actually know Christ. Very few people truly understand and believe the gospel. But to them, if I come and I say, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, they'll think that that's valuable, and they'll want to listen, but only so far, because they think that they've already got it. But what they don't have, right now, Chuuk is facing a pretty big health crisis. We have a lot of obesity, we have a lot of diabetes, and we have a lot of heart issues. Most of that goes back to the local diet right now, which is mainly rice and a lot of canned meat and very large portions of those things. And then any of their local food is also very starchy. So when you have rice and another starch and another starch and a bunch of canned meat, it adds up over the years, and then you're not a healthy person. And people want to know how to be healthier. And people, especially men, are very interested in lifting weights. And so I have a setup in my backyard that I use, and people see me all the time working out and lifting and training and things, and it's become a thing of interest. So something that I have knowledge of that I can impart is how to do that, and how to lift weights, how to get strong, how to be healthy. And so what the Lord has really opened up, really through some pretty neat answers to prayer, He opened up a place for us to use, and we're paying for that right now. That's $500 a month that we're renting out this facility at the moment. And then we're going to equip it. I spent about 4, 5, maybe 6 months beginning the renovations before we came back. So most of that's done. We've got a little more to do. And then we need to equip it. And we're going to create, really, Chuuk's first gym. And the reason being is that this creates opportunities. It's a network there. And so, for instance, I've already been able, in my backyard with a small setup, I've been able to coach a deputy mayor of a faraway island. And what that does is to create an opportunity that now this deputy mayor knows me. I can say, hey, can I come and do a health clinic and maybe a Bible study on your island? And because he knows me, because I have imparted knowledge to him and I've opened up that door, man, there's a huge opportunity right there. Otherwise, to get onto that island would be very difficult for me. And so as we open up a gym, there's one place in the local high school. They have a small weight room. It's been closed down for a couple of years because of COVID. It doesn't have a whole lot of good stuff. It's very, very small. And so people really don't use it. And so with having a gym, it's about 1,000 square feet, We're going to stock it with really good equipment, mostly weightlifting stuff. So we don't have room for tons of, you know, ellipticals and treadmills and stuff, but we're going to be doing a lot of weight things and practical strength. These guys are excited about it. There's a buzz already happening around the island that there's a gym coming. And what this is going to do is open up opportunities to sit and have gospel conversations, because we have found a way to impart a knowledge that they don't yet have. And so this is a huge, huge undertaking. The initial setup, aside from rent and the renovations that we've done and whatnot, the initial setup for the equipment and the shipping and all of that is going to run us somewhere around $30,000, because we want to do it right. We don't want to stock it with kind of junky equipment that may or may not work. Or if we're going to do it, and if it's going to represent the kingdom of God, we want it to be as good as we can make it. And so we need your prayers for that. I know what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to setting up a business in a foreign country and shipping in all of these things and trying to make it run. But the Lord has been directing thus far. And so we're excited about that. That's one vision that we have for the upcoming term. And then the other vision is just to continue to be faithful. Right now, Pastor Mike's health is really struggling. He's not feeling well at all. And so just coming in and helping with the church, I do about 90% of the load. And so just trying to help him where he needs help and continue. We've got some different places we've been able to reach out and begin, not really preaching points, but begin to get into some areas where I think eventually we could see some churches or some Bible studies starting as well. And so that, you know, is just more foundation laying and then more watching how the Lord is going to open up doors. But our goal in Chuuk is this. It is to see the kingdom of God penetrate every aspect of Chuuk society. We want to see it penetrate the government. We want to see it take over corrupt churches and make them whole again. We want to see it penetrate the family and stop the spousal abuse and the drunkenness and the other horrific things that go on within families. We want to see it penetrate business so that there's honest business. We want to see the kingdom of God absolutely everywhere. And it starts with simply the gospel and just being faithful to that. And so we're grateful for your part that you've had in it. Thank you for your supporting us. Thank you for your prayers. Thanks for being a part of our life, really, for our whole marriage now, 11 years almost, and not my whole life, but a good chunk of it, about 20 years. And so I'm so grateful for everything that you folks have done. I want to invite you this morning to open up to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. All right. How many of you, the past couple years have been the easiest years of your entire life? All right. Nobody. That's about what I expected. That's all right. I think, you know, as I talk, as I keep up with, you know, Brother Thomas texts me a lot when I'm in Chuuk and even when I'm back here. So I keep up with them. Pastor Brandon and I text every now and then. And I know, and as I talk with many of you, I know that right now there's loss that we're dealing with. I know that right now there's illness that has been going about. These last couple years have been difficult. And this church, I know that many people are hurting. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to preach a message that really I pray will encourage you. But the goal is not to give you a false optimism where we say, well, you know, everything really stinks right now, but it'll turn out all right in the end. That's not what the Bible wants us to do. It doesn't want us to have a fake joy where we paste a smile on our face and we speak all of the good Christian language that we know and we say, well, I'm blessed, everything is good, and inside we're an absolute wreck. That's not Jesus. But what I want to do this morning is paint a picture for you, really, of our God and of the miraculous and huge things that He does for you and for me. And though we might be in pain, and though there is difficulty that abounds, I want us to be able to step back and see the glory and goodness of our God. And so as we dive into Psalm 67, it's not a long passage at all, 7 verses, and it says this: God, be merciful unto us. That's a great way to start off a prayer. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Lord, I pray that you would give me the ability to be concise, and that in just a few minutes that I can say everything that you would have. I pray, Father, that the word of God would be powerful this morning. To the best of my ability, I have prepared my heart. To the best of my ability, I have prepared this message. But Lord, it's not me. I can do nothing. But I simply offer myself as an empty vessel that you fill and overflow. And I pray that it would be a blessing to your people here. Encourage hearts, Father. I pray that you would challenge us where maybe we have failed in not seeing you in the way that we ought to. And I pray, Father, that you would lift up the broken this morning. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. What really makes you glad? Okay. I know that glad really has kind of become a mild word that we say. When I think of the word glad, I don't often think of like a really huge jump for joy expression, right? We usually say, you know, hey, I'm glad to see you. I'm not out of my mind, so happy to see you. I'm glad to see you, right? I'm happy. I'm not disappointed that I am seeing you, but you know, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad that gas prices are, well, they're not really going down, but I'm glad that gas is, instead of $3.50, it's $3.49, right? It's not a lot to celebrate, but you know, I'm glad it could be worse. We use glad as kind of this mild expression. And yet, in this passage, it says, oh, let the nations be glad. This word glad actually has the idea to rejoice heavily over something. So let me tell you a story. There's once a woman. She was a young single mom, and she came across some extra money. Right, young mom, single mom, working jobs, trying hard, got little babies, and she's trying her best, but money is tight. And so she comes across some extra money. And in fact, it was $500 that she came across. And so she's got ten $50 bills. And she's ecstatic. She goes home, she budgets out everything to the last penny, right? This money I'm going to use to fill up my gas tank for the week. And this money I'm going to finally be able to buy a couple of, you know, nicer groceries that I've been looking for. And this money I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll get a treat for the kids because it's been so long. And she's got it all laid out. And she goes back to count the money. She's getting ready to go to the store. And she goes back and she's missing a $50 bill. And she begins to panic. And she begins to really get quite upset. And so she racks her brain and she thinks, okay, I was over at the neighbor's house. So she calls up the neighbor and she says, hey, did you happen to find a $50 bill anywhere? Anywhere, you know, in the bathroom, at the kitchen table? Was it in your yard? Have you found a $50 bill? No, we haven't. She remembers a little bit later, I was at the Food Lion. I was at the Food Lion, and so she calls up Food Lion, and she says, hey, has anybody turned in a $50 bill to the lost and found? No, I'm sorry, they haven't. We'll let you know, though. She's racking her brain, and she begins to just be completely distressed, and she says, okay, fine. And so she starts from one end of the house, and she goes to the other room, and she does everything that she can, and finally, you know the big Legos that, you know, like for little kids, like, you know, 4 and 5 year olds, they're not small to put in your mouth, but the big ones, right? Finally, she's cleaning the Legos, she's looking, and in the Lego, one of her little guys had somehow gotten a hold of a $50 bill, and he had stuffed it up in that Lego playing or something like that. So she takes it out, and she begins to rejoice. And she thanks God, she says, God, thank you, I needed that so much. And she calls up the Food Lion, and she's ecstatic, and she's telling Food Lion, I found the $50 bill. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Thank you so much for checking. And she calls up her neighbor, and she says, look, come over here. Look at this. Look at where I found this. I found the $50 bill. And she is absolutely ecstatic that she received and found again the money that was lost. That is a parable of Jesus Christ. Christ told us about the woman that had 10 pieces of silver, and she dropped one, and she freaked out, she tried to find it, and she swept the house and looked for it, and finally found it, and boom, there it was. She wasn't just glad, all right, found that money. She was rejoicing. She was ecstatic. She was so relieved that she found what was lost. Oh, let the nations be glad. But we often take this first word, or not the first word, but, oh God, be merciful unto us and bless us. Now we're all, for the most part, right? We're all pretty good southern people down here. And we use the word blessing quite a bit, don't we? Right? Now, St. Sue, I don't know, I know you probably have used the word blessing, right? Is it a blessing to be married to Jack? I'm not gonna make you answer that right now, but, St. Jack, we know you have to nod your head, right? It is a blessing, right? And we use this word blessing really in so many ways. And even nowadays, right on Facebook, you see hashtag blessed. Blessed has become yet another banal word. Just a word that we use. Even people that do not know Christ, I see them use the word blessed. So now in this passage, we've got two words. In our modern day, they kind of mean like, oh, okay, you know, that's nice. That was a blessing, right? I'm glad. But in this passage, oh, they mean much more. And so what I want us to walk away with this morning is really this thought. Through God's blessings and our praises, Christ's kingdom conquers the nations and brings joy. Let's dig in for just a few moments. First of all, I want us to realize how God's blessings reveal Jesus to the nations. God's blessings reveal Jesus to the nations. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. First of all, we look at the blessings. What are these blessings? Health, wealth, and prosperity? If that's the epitome of God's blessings, then I feel like maybe many of us might feel like we've missed out on it. How many of you are perfectly healthy today in the way that you really would love to be? No aches, no pains, no nothing. All right, well, we've missed out on that blessing if that's truly the epitome of God's blessing. How many of you are wealthy beyond your wildest dreams? And you have no financial heartache, and tax season doesn't scare you a bit. Anybody? All right. How many of you have no heartache whatsoever? So the blessings of God cannot simply mean ease. It can't simply mean no issues. The blessing of God, first of all, comes by the mercy of God. Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16 remind us. God says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. His mercy, lest we forget it, because I know that many of us have been here for 30, 40, 50 years in this church. And I'm not accusing, but I'm simply reminding that I have to remind myself how often I take for granted the mercy of God. I never deserved it. I have never earned it. And through all of my years of being saved, I've never attained to the fact of being able to say, well, God, now I paid you back. I finally did enough of that to say, thanks for your mercy, and now I feel like I've earned it. No, the mercy of God is completely unearned, it is completely undeserved, and it is therefore 100% a blessing of God. And the mercy of God is beyond all comprehension. It is beyond all recognition that God would look down at a creation that rebelled against Him. That He would look down at you and me, who spat in His face and pierced His hands, and say, I have nothing but mercy for you. First of all, the blessing of God is His mercy. And therefore, what happens to us then? When we get used to the mercy of God, when the mercy of God looks like cleaned up Christianity all around us, we forget that even the heathen have the mercy of God. We forget that even the people that are around us in our own county that we disagree with, the people that are advocating for political policies that we despise, and the people that are living lifestyles that we cannot understand or we don't agree with biblically, we forget that we never earned the mercy of God. We never deserved it. And sometimes we look out and we say, but yeah, they really don't deserve it. No, the mercy of God is beyond all comprehension. Oh, the depth and the breadth and the height of the mercy and the love of God. So His mercy, first of all, we must remember for ourselves what the depth of that mercy is, so that when we look at the nations, we don't look at them in anger, and we don't look at them in disgust, and we don't look at them down our nose, but rather we look at them and we say, if only you knew the mercy of God. If we looked at Alamance County and we said, if Alamance County only knew the mercy of God, if Graham, North Carolina only could fathom a drop of the mercy of God, how much would it do? God, be merciful to us and bless us. His blessings then are salvation, unity, wisdom, knowledge, eternal life, peace, joy, contentment, having our needs provided for, both spiritual and physical. But we cannot relevate the blessings of God to simply how we feel, to simply what we own, to simply how easy or hard our life might be. The blessings of God are extended to all who will receive. The blessings of God reveal Jesus to the nations. His blessing is also His favor towards us, and cause His face to shine upon us. God is a spirit. No man at any time hath seen God, but those that know Jesus have seen Him. To look upon the face of God, but not only to look, but to have His face cause to shine upon us. This phrase, it means to have favor with. It gives the idea, you know, husbands, right? You know, if you do something and you look over and your wife has a look of consternation on her face, you know that you have not earned the favor of your wife in that moment. Or maybe you, moms and dads, if you remember when you had children and they would do something not bad, but also not good, right? Kind of stupid. You remember the look that you would give them. They didn't have your favor, but oh, sometimes out of just sheer love for my little girl, I look at her and I say, wow, I love her. That is God's attitude toward us. His face shines upon us. His favor is ours to grasp. So God's blessings, what are these blessings? It's His mercy. It's all of these good things. It's the fact that we are made known before God, His favor towards us. But how then does this reveal Jesus to the nations? verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth. First of all, the blessings of God then reveal the way. What then, when we look at this, that thy way may be known upon the earth, we read this and we kind of fill in the blanks in our Christian mind that we've known for decades, but really, what is this way that is now known upon the earth that will make the nations glad? We look at Isaiah 55:8, and the same word is used for way. And so the Bible says this, and we often take this verse out of context. Isaiah writes this for God. God is saying, it's for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, we often use that, and I'm not bashing that this is how you've used the verse. I'm not making fun, but we often use that as something that when we don't understand why something happened, we say, well, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. But what is he talking about? What is that passage? If you think about the book of Isaiah, Isaiah has been essentially berating Israel. You have failed. Judgment is coming. God is displeased. Turn back to him. You have failed. Judgment is coming. God is displeased. Turn back to him. And all of a sudden we come to Isaiah 55. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come you buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What is this way? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. What is this way? It is the way of mercy. When I am wronged, when governments come after me, when people lie about what I have or have not said, oh, my reaction is not mercy in the flesh, but God's was. So why does God bless us? Why does God show us his favor? Why does God give us his mercy? It is so that his way of mercy might be known among the nations. It's his way of abundant grace. Then later on, what else then do we see as the way? So if you look, we all know, I would imagine most of us know, John 14:6, some of Jesus' most famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Interesting then, so hang with me for just a minute, right? When the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek, right? They used the Greek word hados for the word way. So for both places, in this passage, in Psalm 67 and Isaiah 55, when it talks about a way, it talks about the word hados. In John 14:6, he says, I am the hados. I am that way. But it gets even more beautiful because now not only is God's mercy revealing the way of abundant grace, the way of mercy that you and I never ever earned, but then understand this in verse 2. Why is it that thy way may be known upon the earth? Why? That the way of mercy might be known. Why? Why? Thy saving health among all nations. This blew my mind. It is beautiful. What is the saving health of the nations? In Hebrew, this is the word for saving health. It is one word. It is the word Yeshua. What is the name of Jesus Christ? We use the name Jesus. That's his Greek name. What would they have called him? Yeshua. What is God's mercy revealing when he blesses us with it? It is revealing Yeshua, the true saving health of all nations. America is sick, but Christ is the saving health. Chuk is corrupt, but Christ is the saving health. Many nations in Africa are sick with greed and corruption, but Christ is the saving health. So why does God choose to bless us? So that His way of mercy and abundant life and goodness inside of Christ can be known to the nations and accepted by them. But then how do they do that? How do they know this? So number one then, we have that God's blessings reveal Jesus to the nations. But then number two, our praises reveal His lordship over all of the nations. Look in verse 3. Let all the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. First of all, our praises, in the middle of sickness, in the middle of death, in the middle of financial hardship, in the middle of aches and pains, our praises reveal Christ to the nations. So what are we praising Him for? Well, first of all, then, we praise Him for His mercy. We praise Him for His goodness. We praise Him for the way of Jesus Christ, the saving health. But what is this passage pointing out? Then we're also praising Him for His judging. It says here that we praise You. Why? Because You will judge the people righteously. We look around in our own self-righteousness. We look around at all of the culture that we say, yeah, I'm looking forward to when God judges that. And judgment will come. It is needed. But first, God reveals His mercy. But then, this is amazing. How do we know then that right now, that this psalm is looking forward to a time when Christ will judge the nations? Now, oftentimes, we get real discouraged and we say, well, things are getting so bad. I'm just hanging on until that rapture takes us away and we don't have to deal with this anymore. But what is the mindset? Yes, we look forward to the coming of Christ. But when does Christ begin to judge? In Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36. Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 36 reveal something to us. It connects a bunch of Old Testament passages, and it gives us some pretty amazing hope. Acts 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. All right? So, David knew through prophecy, he knew that God promised him all the way back in 2 Samuel, or 1st or 2 Samuel 7, I'm sorry, that there was one coming through him, and it would be the one that rules. He, seeing this before, spake of what? The resurrection of Christ. Now we could, I wish we had time, and we don't. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 110, Psalm 2, Psalm 8, Psalm 110, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 15, all of them point, and they all say that at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He was crowned and He reigns. And at this very moment, we have cause to rejoice because He is ruling the nations, whether they want Him to or not, whether they willingly submit or not. Christ is King. Let the nations be glad. He is judging. He is righteous. It is coming. He is, as Psalm 110 says, putting all things under His feet. We praise Him for His judging. We praise Him for His leading. When we recognize Christ as Lord, It is, oh Lord, we're facing another economic downfall. Oh no, what, our government, this and that. No, Christ is Lord, it's all right. He's in control, he's king. Lord, all of these groups that hate Christianity, all of these groups that stand against everything the Bible says, they're all rising up. You know what? Christ is king. He is ruling. He will deal with it. What is our job? To show the mercy of God by praising him. Where is he leading us to? It says here that he will govern the nations upon the earth. It means that he will lead them. Right now, Christ is seeking to lead Chuuk to him. Right now, Christ is seeking to lead the United States of America to him. Right now, Christ sits on his throne. He's making his enemies his footstool. He's bringing all things underneath of him. He is ruling right now, and you can either accept his mercy or be judged one day for sure. But where is he leading us to? In the last book of the Chronicles of Narnia, right? It's called The Last Battle. It's an amazing picture of heaven at the end. All of these main characters enter into what would be heaven. And they begin, and they're following Aslan the lion, and he continues to go, and he yells back to them, they say, where are we going? And he says, onward and upward. And the further in they go, the further in they get into heaven, they realize it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And Aslan keeps yelling back, further in and further up. Where is Christ leading the nations? Further in and further up. It might not feel like it right now. It might not look like it right now. But we know that Christ will work all things for his glory. And so then in conclusion, number three, God's blessings reveal the future of the nations. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. There is coming a day when Christ's reign will finally take over everything. He's reigning everything now. He's Lord of the nations now. Ask of me the heathen, and I will give them to you for your inheritance. Christ is Lord of the nations now, but there is coming a day when finally every nation will bow. But you know what's beautiful? It looks forward to a day where the curse is broken. But what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? 5:17 say, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new... Now, our version says creature, but it can be interpreted new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All what? All things. Christ is bringing this world to himself. And therefore, all nations will know him. Revelation chapter 21 says that they're going to enter into the gate and recognize Christ as king. And so we live in a broken world, but even closer to home, we live in broken societies, don't we? Sometimes we even live in broken homes. So what is it then that can make the meth addict glad? What is it that down in this circle, I took a walk this morning, down here in this circle, right down in Graham, in the heart of Graham, there's a witch shop. What is it that can make the nations glad where they say, why would we want that? Look, folks, I've been around demonic things. You don't want that here. I promise you. What is it that will make the nations glad? What is it that can touch hurting children that have abusive parents? What is it that can help the desperate woman, right? We were driving last night and we saw a truck pull over and it looked like he was soliciting a young lady walking on the side of the road. What is it that can make that young lady glad and the man that is trying to pick her up, what can make him glad? What is it that can make people that are seemingly satisfied, that have a comfortable life, that say, I don't need God? What is it that can give them true joy? What is it that is better than TikTok? What is it that is better than being out in the woods? What is it that is better than all of these things? What makes the nations glad? It is obviously Christ, but how do they know? If we walk around sour, if we walk around going, oh, this is the worst it's ever been, ah, what's going to happen? But rather, let the nations be glad. It starts with us. It starts with remembering His mercy is not deserved by me, and yet He gave it to me. It starts by pointing back to the way of Christ. It starts by us proclaiming the Lordship of Christ over all things in our pain, in our joy, in our misery, in our sorrow, proclaiming Christ as Lord and saying, in all things I can praise You even if it hurts. And so look around. Can Alamance County be made glad because Christ is its King? The Bible says yes. Can your broken home be made glad because Christ is King? Yes. Can your weary heart be made glad because Christ is King over those old, tired bones? Yes. Christ is Lord of your school. Christ is Lord of your phone. Christ is Lord of your computer and your television and your radio. And Christ is Lord of your car. And Christ is Lord of America and of Chuuk. He's Lord of the earth. So let the nations be glad. How do they become glad? By our praise and our testimony, pointing back to the one whose blessings make Christ known to the nations. Our King Jesus, we rejoice in You this morning, and we say we are glad, not because of who we are, but because of who You have made us to be in You. We praise Your holy name. Lord, I pray for the broken, the weary, the tired, the sorrowful, the depressed, that are right here in this auditorium. And I pray, God, that they would be made glad by the fact that You are in control, You are reigning, You love them and have given them mercy beyond belief. God, make that real to them. Father, I pray for the youngest to the oldest in this room that they would recognize the Lordship of Christ, and that together as a church, as Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, that we would proclaim the joy of Christ to Alamance County. And God, that this church would just explode and boom because we're showing who Christ is. Thank You, Jesus. In Your holy name we pray. In faith, amen.